Spotlight. This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on India's emergence as a global economic force. The participants are Shishir Sinha, economic analyst, and Sarabjit Kaur, anchor.
Over the past decade, India's economic size has expanded sharply. In 2014-2015, the GDP at current prices was approximately 106 lakh crore rupees, while this figure is expected to rise to around 331 lakh crore rupees in 2024-25, nearly tripling in 10 years. To deep dive into how India has emerged as a global economic force, we have in our studios today Mr. Shishir Sinha, economic analyst. Shishir, welcome to the studios of Akashvani.
Thank you very much.
Shishir, India's economic performance over the past year reflects not just growth, but a deeper sense of stability and direction. In fact, amidst geopolitical tensions, trade wars and uncertainties, India's GDP continues to grow by 6.5% in 2024-25. In fact, if I could say so, the highest among major economies. In your view, what are the key factors for this resilience and balanced growth?
The first and the foremost important thing is the demand. Entire economy, when you talk about the economic activity or the economic growth, there are five D's critical. One D is the democracy. The second D is demographic dividend. The third D is demand. Fourth D is diversified market. And fifth D is the digital ecosystem. Fortunately, we are very good in all those five counts. So first you talk about democracy. How democracy is helping you to grow faster, because you are having a stable policy, strong policy and continuous policy. When you talk about the demographic dividend, 65% of population is below the age of 35 years. They are providing you strong labor force and at the same time, they are also providing you good demand, which converts into the third D. Fourth D, which is the diversified market. That means for a set of producers, they are getting all kind of options. So they will come and they will invest here. They will go for manufacturing. They will go for providing services. And of course, the last D, which is the digital one, that is bringing down the cost of transaction. So if you combine all the 5D, that is going to help to grow at a very faster rate. At the same time, when we are seeing a lot of uncertainty in the global economic system and we are seeing some kind of impact on the overall trade, the domestic demand is giving you some comfort. Sometime when you criticize that we are a very heavily populated country, that population is also giving you some support. The domestic demand is giving you some support during this uncertain times. So combining all those things, we are fastest growing economy if we talk about 24-25, and even in 25-26, our growth rate is projected around 6.5%, and many of the agencies are saying that it could even grow beyond 6.5%. Considering the various factors, especially the policy matters. So considering all those things, I feel that Indian economy is doing well and it is expected to continue well, provided that the global uncertainty may not go worst, if I use the word worst, not the bad, then the growth will be affected.
Shishir, you just mentioned about domestic demand being a sucker in the growth of the economy. How is domestic demand and coupled with it, rural consumption have to play a role in the sustained performance of the Indian economy?
Almost 68% of our population is living in this rural area. And if you see last 4 to 5 years, we are fortunate that monsoon has been normal. So when the monsoon has been normal, the farm activity will get a good push because of this thing. Reservoir situation is also very good. So agriculture activities is doing well. And at the same time, the activities which are dependent upon farm activities or what we call as the allied activities in agriculture or in the rural area, they're also doing well. So considering all those things, the rural population is having money in their hand and they are looking to buy some goods and services. And when the rural consumption is picking up, that means your 68% of population is pushing the consumption. At this moment, the urban consumption may not be as good if you compare with the rural consumption. But the good thing is that 68% is doing well and 32% is not doing well. That is not going to affect the entire consumption cycle. And that is the most important thing at this moment when we talk about 6.5% growth rate.
Shishir, taking cue from just what you said, a full monsoon season and a growing agricultural sector. Another encouraging figure we get to see is that of the food prices. And very often it's said that food prices have a significant impact on the overall inflation. The Consumer Food Price Index recorded an inflation rate of just 0.99% in May 2025. In fact, this is the lowest food inflation since October 2021. What kind of relief do these figures indicate for the common man?
If you talk about the food and beverages, they comprise of around 54% in the retail inflation basket. So when the food prices are low, that is going to impact the retail inflation based on consumer price index. And if you take the figure of May, it was 2.82%, which is lowest in 75 months. That means more than 6 years. Now we are expecting that it will go further down because the prices of cereals are coming down because of the good harvest we have seen on account of the kharif crops. And even the rabi sowing is very good. Of course, there are some concern on some of the vegetable prices, but it's not like exploding kind of thing. So there we are having some comfort on that factor, and that is helping to keep the inflation low. In fact, 2.82% in May, that was the fourth successive month when the inflation rate was below 4%. 4%, why 4% is critical? Because 4% is the median rate of our inflation targeting, which is 2 to 6%. And if the inflation rate is below 4%, that is giving some kind of cushion to Monetary Policy Committee to go for aggressive policy rate cut, which we have seen during last three policy cycles also, and that will certainly help the producers and of course the consumers to go for buying something or producing more and more thing. So inflation rate coming down is helping not just the producer but also helping the consumer. At the same time, we should remember that when the inflation rate is high, there's an old saying which says that the inflation is nothing but a poor man tax. So when the inflation is down, that means the poor man or the people who are at the last step of our economic cycle, they are also going to get the benefit of entire economic growth. So lower inflation on one hand cut down the policy interest rate, at the same time on the other hand it provides some kind of comfort to the consumer and especially the poor people.
Well, Shishir, we've been talking about the Consumer Price Index and the encouraging figures of the month of May at 2.82%. I believe June's data of CPI and WPI is also expected to be out tomorrow.
Yeah.
Do you see a further decline in these figures and more benefits coming to households and businesses?
Certainly, if I go by the vegetable prices, you know, in inflation basket, we track what we call as the top. Tomato, onion and potato. And during the month of June, we saw the prices of all these three vegetables coming down.
The staple requirements of the Indian household.
Exactly. And if you take the cereal prices, they are also down. So we are expecting that the headline inflation rate for the month of June could be something in the range of 2.5 to 2.6%. So that will be second successive month of below 3% inflation rate and fifth successive rate of below 4% inflation rate. So if the inflation rate is down, then certainly it is going to help the Monetary Policy Committee to cut the interest rate further. But sorry to say, but at this moment, when the Monetary Policy Committee is going to meet in August, the chances of cutting down the interest rate again very, very low. But still, you can expect that that may happen in the month of October when it will meet for the next time.
Shishir, you know, we've been happily talking again and again about low figures of inflation. So in your view, this current price stability, is it temporary or an indicator of a broader pattern of economic stability?
Most important thing, we have to see the core inflation. See, the headline inflation is having two volatile category. One is food and the second one is the fuel. So important to note is the core inflation. And core inflation at this moment is something around 4.2 to 4.3%, which is not very high. And this core inflation, we are seeing a steady kind of thing over a period of last 6 to 8 months. And we are expecting that it may go up, but not by say 50 basis point or 70 basis point, but maybe by 10 basis point or 20 basis point, which is really requirement, because when your core inflation is say 4.4%, 4.5%, that is going to benefit the producer also, because at the end of day, if a producer is engaged in the production, he is doing for the profit. If he's not earning profit, he's not going to produce something. So you need certain inflation. You need some level of inflation. Whenever we read the inflation data, we go to the core inflation and we also go to the core of core inflation. That is, we exclude their gold also. So all those inflation, all those numbers are showing a steady thing. That means the economy is in a kind of a stable mode, because these numbers are not giving any kind of unexpected volatility. That is one thing which I can talk about the price level.
Shishir, in this scenario of controlled inflation, and if I may say so, this leads to more purchasing power, more ability to invest in the hands of the common man. And if we were to analyze figures till the end of December 2024, as recent as that, there has been growth of retail investors in India.
Mm-hmm.
Primary markets too have been very active. In fact, between April and December 2024, the country saw 259 IPOs. In your view, how is the ordinary citizen contributing in building this confidence in the stock market and in the economic growth? What is the matrix of this journey of turning household savings into investments?
There are two components. Of course, one is how the investors' numbers are growing, and the second number is how the IPO numbers are growing. So when we say investor numbers are growing, that means more and more people are interested in taking some sort of risk, because we all know that the stock market is a subject of market risk. We see a lot of volatility. If you are buying a share, you can't be sure, 100% sure, that it will grow like this thing.
Yes, in fact, the risk factor is inbuilt into the system.
So even after that kind of risk factor, if people are putting money into stock market, and the most important thing is that we are also seeing some IPOs where the fundamentals are not good, that are also rejected by the retail investor. So important thing to note here, that not just the number is rising, but the attitude and the behavior of the investors is also showing some kind of improvement. They are showing a more maturity in choosing an IPO. So on the one hand, people are getting an option to get more money from the money which they have. At the same time, companies are getting money at a lower cost. You know, if you are borrowing from a bank or any financial institution, the cost will be high, and your liability, even if you are in loss, you have to pay the money. But if you are taking money from the stock market, the risk from the company point of view, the risk is low. That means he does not have to worry about that every month I have to pay this much money. The cost of money is low, and the liability will arise only when the company is going to wind up. So it's a kind of win-win situation for the investor as well as for the producer. And at the same time, producer is getting money to expand their business. What is the thing which we require at this moment when we talk about 6.5% growth rate? We need companies to expand their business. And that expansion is possible with the help of the cheaper money through the capital market.
Shishir, if I were to talk of a package where I see a rising foreign exchange reserves, a manageable current account balance, steady inflows of foreign investment, do you see this as some kind of a cushion for the Indian economy in the face of global uncertainties?
Certainly, if you say $700 billion of foreign reserve, the last data which we have seen that. So that is giving a comfort in terms of, suppose that we are importing something we need to import. That's a must, like crude oil. We have to import it. I would like to take you back to 1991, when the situation was so bad that we did not have the money to buy even beyond 15 days. Now we have money to buy crude oil for months and months. That is giving some kind of cushion in this in uncertain environment. At the same time, we are also seeing that more and more foreign investors are coming. That means they are giving cold money. I mean, you know, there is hot money, there is cold money. Hot money is something which is coming to the stock market. You do not know when they are going to take it back. But when they are putting money in a company through the FDI or through the direct investment, that is called the cold money, that is going to stay there. So when we talk about $700 billion of forex reserve, that is also having a good component of this cold money, which is going to provide some kind of stability. And of course, it is going to provide some kind of cushion in this uncertain environment where we do not know that what kind of price we have to pay for barrel of crude oil.
Shishir, thank you very much for sparing your valuable time and sharing your insightful knowledge on the topic of how India has emerged as a global economic force.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on India's emergence as a global economic force. The participants were Shishir Sinha, economic analyst, and Sarabjit Kaur, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044. Spotlight.